Sutz. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. You're fired up today.
Wow. It's such a hypocritical – it's ridiculous. They're basically telling the public, you know what? Hey, don't smoke marijuana. God, you'll be suspended for an entire year, but it's okay to punch out your fiance. That's fine.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty stupid. I don't necessarily know what all happens there, but I mean, is Rice able to play while it's going on, or I guess the court stuff is going on, and will be suspended afterward?
Well, it happened in the offseason, right? It just happened here,
yeah.
So they haven't come down with anything yet. He might get a suspension, and if he does, then great. But so far, we've heard nothing that, you know, they look at it in the courts. But the report was there's an actual video because he did it in a casino. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he did it at home, which is still bad, but to do it in a public place just shows you, you know, the real level of control and power a player thinks he has. You know, I can punch out my fiance allegedly in public, and that's okay. So, but they don't have the policy, at least in past, when you look at all the domestic abuse cases that have happened in the NFL compared to drugs, the suspensions aren't nearly the same.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's pretty stupid when you look back at the past. Who knows what they might do with this one, but definitely the past would show that, and you have a right to be fired up, my man.
Lots of things to discuss going on. The Montreal-Boston game last night I felt was a safer game, but we haven't talked about the Ducks and the Kings, and the Ducks get right back in that series with a huge win and, you know, a huge late goal from Ben Lovejoy. Talk about Daryl Sutter said, you know, we can't give up that many chances. Like, they've got the greatest goal in the league, and if they give up more than two goals, like, Daryl Sutter just rips his team apart. I'm always kind of like what do they expect? Like, if you have that good of a goalie, shouldn't you expect them to make a save every now and then?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why they are one of the best defensive teams in the league, though. You're never satisfied as a coach, and that's what makes that team so hard to play against. They give up three goals and their coach is snapping that they weren't very good defensively. That play by Lovejoy, I just about jumped off the couch. You don't expect right now the way Quick's been playing to see him get beat like that. And it was just a heck of a shot. It was a great play. And the Kings were obviously pressing late. Doughty's trying to sort of force something at the blue line that he probably wouldn't do earlier in the game and get back in the game. And it ends up actually costing them because it turns out they do score late. But big, huge goal from a defenseman that I know you've talked a lot about before, being a guy that it'd be nice if the Oilers can find those guys that, sort of are underrated and is just a big steal. And that was just a heck of a play. And the Ducks needed that one. Obviously, if they lose that one, they're out of the series. And it's been just a heck of a series. It's been a lot like the San Jose LA series, just heavy hockey, a lot of hits, great speed, intensity. It's been a blast to watch.
Yeah, that series gets more entertaining by the day. Like, there's some huge hits in that series, and some potential bad news if A. Anderson's injured, although they've got Hiller, and now they're going to call up Gibson. But if Bolesky's out, man, that's a huge blow for them. I think he adds a lot.
I think he adds a ton, and that was one of the things in the first series that, as a guy watching the games and analyzing the Ducks' stars, I thought it was a problem for the Ducks that they didn't have enough guys that were taking care of Getzlaff, taking care of Perry. You know, they have Maroon, they have Bolesky, but they don't have a lot of guys that want to play that style. And Bolesky's one of those guys that can add a lot to that line. He can bring that little edge. He can take care of those guys. You see him off the faceoff last night when I think it was Toffoli whacking with Perry. He can step in there and sort of alleviate some of that stuff so your best players can be your best offensive players, even though Perry loves to mix it up and that's his game. I think they need a few more of those guys like Bolesky, and they need to be able to bring that energy. So a big loss if he's not able to go. And I was impressed with Hiller last night. Obviously, he played games one and two, so it wasn't that crazy, but to come into a 2-1 game with 10 minutes left, ice cold, in a must-win game was big for him to stand tall.
Oh, huge for him. Brian Sutherby, a former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us. The Ducks, are you surprised how well their back end is playing with three guys that young and inexperienced?
Yeah, you know, it says a lot about those D, and you look at a guy like Cam Fowler, you know, as young as he is, you watch his game, and he almost reminds me when I watch him of a young Scott Niedermeyer. Those are huge shoes to fill, but Niedermeyer was a guy that I played with, and honestly, probably I played with some great players, Jágr, Ovechkin, Pronger, Getzlaff, all these guys, and Niedermeyer was probably the best player I played with, hands down. Just so poised, so easygoing, and even keel with the puck. And I watch Fowler a lot, and he's that sort of way. And I think Bruce Boudreau brings that out in these guys. The one thing that he allows them to do is play and be offensive and be themselves, and that sort of allows you to relax in these moments. It's a lot harder if a coach is yelling at you and sort of stressing you out and making you squeeze your stick. And I don't think Boudreau's quite that way.
No, he seems to be a lot more of not necessarily a rah-rah guy, but he does seem to be maybe more – patience may be the wrong word, but more – accepting of mistakes at times?
He allows his players to be creative offensively, and I think that's a bit of the knock on him a lot of times in the playoffs, that he hasn't been able to get his teams to play the way they do in the regular season in the playoffs, because it does tighten up. It does become more offensive and hard hockey. I didn't have Boudreau when I was in Washington, but he came actually a few weeks after I got traded. He took over for Glenn Hanlon, and Mike Green was there, and he really struggled under Glenn Hanlon. Glenn was all over him all the time, never let him be creative, never allowed him to really be that offensive player that we could all see. Everyone could see it. The kid had so much talent. You could see it in practice. You could see it, glimpses of it every once in a while, but he wasn't allowed to do those things. And the minute Boudreau took over, all of a sudden this guy was a Norris Trophy candidate, 60, 70 points a year. And I think you're seeing that right now, his ability to coach and allow these young kids to develop and play the way they want to play. The only thing is, in the playoffs, you have to take it to another level and also expect them to be a little bit more defensive and careful. But he's done a good job with that back end.
He definitely has. The Kings, on the other hand, still in control of this series, 2-1, at home. Anze Kopitar emerging as a guy who's got to be in the conversation as one of the best players in the game.
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, just a very calm, easygoing type player that plays the game hard and wins battles and uses his size and speed and skill to really elevate his game. He's not a guy that's going to stick here, be in your face, or be that sort of edgy type guy, but wants the puck on his stick all the time. He's a big body. He actually, for the most part, sort of wants to slow the play down and make those soft little plays, but really elevating his game right now, getting to another level. And you know, like you just said, the Kings are still in front of this series, even though I don't necessarily know they should be. I think it could be either way right now. I think in Anaheim, the Kings deserve to win game two, and last night could have went either way, and I thought the Ducks deserved to win game one. So I think going into the series, everyone expected this to go 6 or 7, and if it's going to get there, the Ducks have to win game four for sure. But Kopitar has done a good job with limiting Perry and Getzlaff as well.
Brian, a few other things. You're a big NFL guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did you watch the draft, or did you watch the Habs-Boston game last night?
I was flipping back and forth, but I was, to be honest, I was more into the Johnny Manziel watch and focused on the draft a little bit. That was pretty fun. You know, it's funny. I missed who your Finns took. Were you happy with who they snagged in the first?
Offensive lineman. You know,
boring.
Well, not necessarily boring. I'm not sure how great he is. You know, he's a right tackle, Juwan James, big body. They needed to improve their offensive line. I still think they needed a receiver. They needed a playmaking receiver. And I guess to me, I look and the team right after them trades up as the Saints, who know how to get offensive playmakers, and they take Brandon Cooks. Now, I know Cooks isn't a big receiver, but, man, he's a playmaker. And I'm just like, and I get that you need to have good offensive linemen. I understand it. But all the scouting reports said that Juwan James was in the same category like five other guys who you probably could have got somewhere in the second round. You might as well take the receiver then and then got another old lineman in the second round.
I thought you're happy with the new general manager there. Now you're already questioning him.
Well, I'm not happy. Like, let's be honest, it's gonna have to be much better to be better than Ireland. I know they got a lot of holes. It just they've always avoided taking a pure receiver, and it just bothers me. Like in the game, it's become more of a passing game. You need a receiver. I understand you need an offensive line, but man, you need a receiver, and they better take at least two receivers the rest of this draft.
Well, and that's the thing that was really interesting. I didn't follow it a ton. I like to sort of zero in on the draft a couple weeks before, and I don't watch a lot of college football, so I don't really know a lot of these guys until leading up the weeks before. But I was very interested in how many wide receivers were going, because the game has changed. I mean, you don't see any running backs going in the first couple rounds anymore, and wide receivers galore. So it was pretty fun to watch, and I was all over it when the Cowboys were picking. I thought they were going to – Jerry Jones was going to do something sort of stupid and take Manziel there. And I thought the NFL did a great job. I can't remember if they started it last year, but I remember in years past, they always used to show the guy on the phone, and they'd always – there'd be 10 minutes left in the pick, and everyone would know who they were taking. And last night, if you kind of stayed off Twitter, the NFL on TV, they didn't announce the pick until – Goodell got up there. I thought that was pretty cool. It made it a lot more fun.
Suds, have yourself a good weekend. Quickly, having played in the Western Hockey League, having played in the playoffs, game sevens, the Oil Kings are now down to a best of three. I look at this series. I think they got to win game five or they can't win the series, because it's way easier to win game five than game seven. Do you agree with that, or do you think when game seven's on a back-to-back, if they win game six at home and then play the next night, that it won't matter?
You know, that's a great question. I think game seven is more of a coin toss. I think it's game seven. Everything's on the line. I don't know if the fans would come into it as much or that type of atmosphere. I can't remember if Portland's playing in that same rink, but, you know, I'm a little bit surprised. I know Portland's a great team. They march through the West. But I remember that rink, and the neutral zone is so small, and it's sort of a small rink, and the fans are right on top of you. I really thought that would be a place that would sort of play to the Oil Kings' strengths, because they're so strong through the neutral zone. If you go and watch them, their D are always standing up and really limiting time and space. And in an even smaller rink, I would think they'd have more success there. But maybe the smaller ice is actually sort of hindering that. I don't know. But I wouldn't... If they lose game five, I think coming home, they played well at home. I wouldn't say that series is over yet. I think game seven would be more of a coin flip, and that's anybody's game.
Suds, have a good weekend.
You too, big guy.